From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into another edition of DeKalb Business Today here on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes, and we're here to preview today a special event taking place in DeKalb County. Coming up next Friday, something of interest to business leaders across the area. We'll talk about that in a second. But first, I want to remind you, you can find DeKalb Business Radio on social media. Follow us on Twitter at DeKalb Radio X. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DeKalb Business Radio X. Of course, listen live each Friday at 10 and noon here on DeKalb.businessradiox.com. And if you miss us live, download our free podcasts on our site. They're also a free download on iTunes. And remind you, as always, this edition of DeKalb Business Today is brought to you by the Bornelis Insurance Group of Dunwoody. For all your insurance needs, contact Callan and her talented team at 1-800-376-8967 or check out the link on our website, DeKalb.businessradiox.com. All right, so the event that I'm talking about is the Raise Forum. It's happening at Emory's Goizueta Business School next Friday. Raise stands for Retention and Advanced Investment for the Southeast at Emory. And two of the important members here, Barry Etra, the founder of the Raise Forum, and Steve Brett, who we've had on the show before, the presentation guru from Presentation Tune-Ups, both joining us here in studio. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Barry, we'll start with you. Kind of the basics. How did you guys come up with this idea? This is basically a Shark Tank style without all the pomp, circumstance, and some of the fakeness of it type thing. How'd you come up with it?
I came at it from the side of trying to raise money for companies and realizing how hard it was for companies, even if they'd proven the model, done whatever they had to do to get to where they had to, how hard it was to not only find the right money, but for the two sides, the money and the non-money, to get together. And I started to come up, because I couldn't figure out why that wouldn't work, the consultant part of me kicked in, and I said, how do you make this work and create an enterprise or even an environment that works?
Is that an ongoing problem? It seems to me here we are in 2015, the era of social media. You can get in touch with anybody, basically. Is that a problem that we've seen throughout the ages, or is that something new?
Even in the places in the country where all the venture money comes from, Silicon Valley, Boston, New York, this is still a problem. There it's easier because if you start with one guy, they have such a great network, you can get to other people. But you never really know, am I talking to the right guy? Am I wasting my time? People who invest go through hundreds of companies before they find good ones because there's no pre-selection process before them.
Let me also jump in here for a minute. I think one of the things about Raise Forum is the sweet spot that we're trying to service. Barry's history in this thing is that trying to raise alternative financing for people who couldn't go traditionally, we find that there's a lot of money at the low end. Friends, family, and fools, as they say, or friends and family money. There's angel money. There is money, $50,000, $100,000, even $250,000 is fairly easy for startups to come up with. But then there's a gap between perhaps $500,000 and $5 million for a company that has gone through their first $500,000 and they're just at the point where they need to scale it up to make the business really work. Then they're too small still for traditional financing or the banks or big investors who are looking to put in $5 or $10 million or $20 million and make $100 million. So the gap here is what we're trying to service with Raise Forum.
Yeah, to qualify that a little further, once you get to about $1 million, at least in the Southeast, not a lot of places you can go. Your basic places, the only real places you can go are Venture Forum, most Venture for Capital, which is mostly like looking for a needle in a haystack. And the other option is private equity, but private equity won't look at you until you're at $10 million in sales and a couple of $1 million in EBITDA.
I want to ask you about some of the companies that you're going to have both on the investing side and the companies that will be pitching themselves, but why the Southeast?
The Southeast is really a hotbed of entrepreneurship. Atlanta is the number one city in the country for entrepreneurs by many measures, certainly in the top 10 by anybody's measure. And where's the Southeast going to go? I mean, despite the car companies coming in, we're really not going to be anything. Manufacturing has moved out long ago for the most part. We're going to be entrepreneurship. That's going to be the future. And there's a tremendous amount of activity, certainly coming out of Georgia Tech in Atlanta. Tennessee and Florida have state-funded money for entrepreneurs. We're a little behind the times. And there are a lot of people who are looking to invest in other companies around the Southeast and help raise that tide that floats all those boats.
This is DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio, a special edition as we preview the RAISE Forum happening next Friday at Emory University. Steve Brett and Barry Etra from the RAISE Forum are guests today. Steve, talk to me about some of these companies, both on the investing side and the companies that are going to be coming, trying to find an investment.
No, actually, I'm going to throw that back to Barry. That's his bailiwick.
Well, we just quickly, so we decided really where the most pain is when a company knows how good it is and knows that they can do what they want to do and they still can't get money. And on the investor side, what are they looking for? They don't want to take a chance. In fact, they'd like, most of the angel investors would like a 3 to 5 year return. So the easiest way to do that was to get companies that are already in revenue, have already shown what they can do, have passed any regulatory issues, and are now ready just to expand. So that's who we went out for. And in some ways, it's harder because there are far fewer companies of those than ones who show great promise but haven't really even passed the sniff test.
Mm-hmm.
And going to those companies, it turned out we were working with six states, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, North and South Carolina. And we got applicants from all of those states. We ended up with not as many as I thought we would, but we also had a shortened on-ramp.
Mm-hmm.
But we still got a chunk of really good companies who fit the model. And there, as it turns out, we thought we would have a healthcare bias, which we did. Four of the nine companies in the finals are healthcare related.
Okay.
But the others range from a consumer company to a strictly business-to-business to an internet company. I mean, they're all kinds of, they really go all over the map, which is good because what we've been known for here in this part of the world is tech. That's what almost everybody is, tech. And there's been no outlet for these others.
You mentioned these are finalists. They've made it. They made the cut. You vetted them, obviously. But if the investors don't believe in it, it's possible that some of these companies leave without an investment?
Oh, it's almost certain that some of the companies will leave without an investment. We're not that optimistic.
But, on the other hand, what is the rate usually for an event of this kind? And I think we're going to do better because we've tried to match the investors with the candidate companies. And that's important.
Normally, I think if somebody has a 2 or 3% funding rate, maybe a little more, but not much, they're thrilled. I think we're going to be 4 or 5 times that. And that should make a big difference because we're only doing, in some ways, it's only logical. We're taking both sides, trying to give them what they want, and we're also trying to create a pure environment, which is not flood the room with service providers, people who need the money, people who have the money, a few sponsors, and hopefully the magic happens.
All right, Steve, I hate to keep bringing it back to Shark Tank, but you see it on the show all the time. The investors have the information in front of them. They got some of the facts and figures. But that person who comes in asking for the investment, they've got to win them over. They've got to make that presentation. You're the presentation guy. What are some of the keys for a company coming in looking for an investment, trying to make themselves stand out?
Okay, that's something that I can handle. The presentations, for the most part, are, as you say, factual. And they come in and what we call it's, there's a pro forma for this thing. It's a 1 or 2 pager, depending on the organization. For us, it's a 2 pager. And in addition to the 2 pager, which we get and review, there's also the presentation deck. What happens is the investors see this stuff and Guy Kawasaki's the first guy. Guy Kawasaki, the Apple billionaire who is now a VC and who has the standard template for presentation decks. Even Guy Kawasaki will tell you that 95% of the presentations are awful. Mm. You have founders or developers, coders, scientists, they all understand their own business model. And they all understand the advantage of what it is that they're doing, but they can't explain it. So the business model is pretty well understood. But what the investors are looking for are partnerships. They want to get involved. Take a particular investor that Barry and I worked with once on a project a few years ago. He was willing to stroke a $5 million check for a guy that we had. And I asked him, why are you interested in this? You're a real estate guy. You build real estate. You manage real estate. You've got houses yourself in three states around the country. You go wherever you... Why are you doing this? He said, because I'm bored. He wanted something where he could get involved, be a partner, have the passion for it, and because the solution that this new company was offering was a solution to a problem that he and his wife both had. So it mattered to him. So the presentations have to go beyond the numbers. They have to go beyond the business model. Every single one of these businesses is standing up and saying, work with me, I'll give you 10x return on your investment. I'll give you 100x return on your investment. The investors want to know, are you good people? Will I enjoy working with you? Can I get involved? Is there a real solution to a real problem? And that's what we want the presentations to reflect, rather than just a one after another money return on investment and so on.
So part of what you're doing, obviously, is preparing them. There's got to be a psychological aspect to it as well, because as Barry mentioned, it's hard for the venture capitalists to find these small companies and the companies vice versa. So this might be their one shot. You mentioned it's already somebody who maybe is uncomfortable making a presentation, explaining it, and all of a sudden just add on the pressure of, okay, here's my moment in the spotlight. How do you help them get through that?
Well, first of all, to be honest with you, the people that we have at the Raise Forum, most of them have been through this a couple of times. All of them have been through it a couple of times. And in fact, the difference between the Raise Forum and some of the other angel groups that you see out there are these are not startups per se. These are emerging businesses. They are growing businesses. One of the criteria is that they are in revenue, so that when we bring the investors in, it's not pie in the sky. I have a great idea. It's not smoke and mirrors or what we call vaporware. Mm-hmm. These are real businesses, and they need the money to scale up. But to answer your question, these guys have been through it before, but it's like being in the minor leagues. It's being in AAA ball when you do an angel pitch. Now you're in the big leagues. You have a business. You're looking for more money to scale it up. You're making a different presentation. And if you look at any of the top presenters when they do keynotes or when they do their annual meetings, a guy like Steve Jobs, of course, was the best. And I actually just did a presentation. I was comparing Steve Jobs to Bill Gates. Steve Jobs was a master at creating that excitement, creating the passion for the product. Bill Gates, not so much, although later in his career, he became much better at it. But this is what we're doing now. These guys have to be spokespeople, guys and gals, men and women, have to be spokespeople for their business. They have to create excitement. They have to create passion. They can't just sit down or stand up, rather, and give you a list of reasons. You've got to be part of the brand.
This is DeKalb Business Today and DeKalb Business Radio. Matt Holmes joined by Steve Brett and Barry Etra from the Raise Forum, happening next Friday at the Goizueta Business School at Emory University. Barry, what's the goal with this? This is the first one of these Raise Forums you've done, and it's not going to be an annual deal. It's something you're hoping to do semi-annually, right?
We're hoping to do this at least twice a year. Emory designed a course around this. The students who took part in the selection process were trained by the gentleman who runs the entrepreneurship program there. They were put through their paces and went through the preliminary selection process of all the candidates, and then we brought in a bunch of investors to help them look at what became the semifinalists, and eventually the finalists.
So again, to be clear, the reason this might have a better chance of success is that the investors were part, in a way, of the preview. So they know they're coming next Friday to see companies that match their investing goals.
And some of the investors who have invested in these companies initially will be at the forum.
Mm-hmm.
And my dream, at least, is that one of the companies will present, and we're going to break down the day into 7-minute presentations, 7 minutes of question and answers from the investors immediately after, and then we're going to have everybody leave the room except the investors and let them talk for a few minutes.
Now, why is that different from most other...
Almost nobody else does that. One of the things we're trying to do is not only promote syndication among investors, but we're also trying to get the initial investor to get up at that point and said, look, I put $150,000 into this company when they were just starting. They hit every covenant. They hit every goal they had to. They're ahead of their sales projections. They now need $1.5 million. We're going to put in another $500,000. Who's with us?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very powerful argument. The due diligence has been done by one of their peers. They already know that these guys have performed. They're still going to do their own due diligence, but in a room like that, like in Shark Tank, although a lot of that is staged.
Right.
In a room like that, in a situation like that, we probably will get more synergy than we'd get otherwise. And we're actually going to meet on the phone the major investor who's on our board and the business school professor and I early next week to talk about what little tweaks we can do to foster that.
So how does this work insofar as when you watch Shark Tank? It's about a 9-10 minute segment where they have the presentation, they have the Q&A, they have the offers maybe, and then you have to make a life-changing decision right there on the spot. Is that all going to happen in that room? You mentioned 7 minutes for the presentation, 7 minutes Q&A. They'll have their side discussion. Are they coming right back in to figure out this life-changing agreement?
No, I'm sure that's not going to happen. That happens on Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the participants probably get somewhere like 13 hours of training for mm-hmm. their 9 minutes. We know one of the guys on our board trained a company who was on Shark Tank. It probably won't happen. I think we might have a situation or two where a couple of guys say, if this all checks out, mm-hmm. okay, we're in for another $500,000. So we'll get maybe some promises. That would be the best I think we could hope for. I don't think somebody's going to walk back and we're going to say, you're funded.
Yeah.
Next.
Is there something in place? Is there an agreement with these investors? For example, you hear if you read online about some of these Shark Tank fallouts and some of the sharks, they'll give a deal and they'll agree to it, but the company will call up for the next 5 months and cannot get a hold of this person, right? Is there something that you put in place to make sure that these companies have access to the people that they're trying to do business with?
No, we haven't, but this is also not entertainment mm-hmm. per se. These people are accessible. They will have met them. It's a small enough crowd that the investors won't be intimidated. That's an interesting phenomenon that happens at the bigger things. The investors are besieged. By keeping the crowd small and by the investors being the majority, we are hopefully keeping that phenomena away.
Talk to me about the bigger vision for this. You mentioned trying to do it probably twice a year. Right now, the S in RAISE form stands for Southeast. Do you continue to see it being a Southeast type thing? What are you trying to do to the business landscape across the Southeast, big picture?
Well, what happens now, and it used to happen more, but maybe it's a little less. They'd get their initial, or company getting its initial round here, maybe its second round. Then they need bigger money. They'd end up getting it outside. Suniva is a very good example. Hot in the news here for a bunch of years. They got their first round here. They built a place in Norcross. The next round came from Michigan. They moved to Michigan. If you can keep the senior money in the Southeast, that goes a long way to keeping the company here, because they want the money wants to be close. They don't want to have to get in a plane every time they come visit you. It could work everywhere. I mean, it's scalable. There's only one program even like this that I've found in the country, and even then they focus far more on the training part than on the funding part, and that's out in California. But there's no reason anybody can't do this. It's just trying to satisfy the needs of both sides.
I know these things are rampant, for example, in Silicon Valley. Is it easier to get venture capital backing in a place like that or in a place like New York City than it is across the Southeast?
Yes.
Yes, that's exactly the point and part of the reason that Barry set this up the way he did. Those guys have syndication. Those guys have communities where they will work together the way Barry mentioned a moment ago. The first guy says, I put seed money in on this. Now I want to see it go further. And they will talk to their peers, their investor peers. And it's easier to syndicate that kind of money. Unfortunately, Atlanta has a disconnect. We're one of the top generators of new ideas, new concepts, ideas coming out of tech and coming out of the universities here. But we're not one of the top cities for raising money. So you mentioned Silicon Valley, Chicago, New York. That's where the money is and where this syndication, this kind of partnershiping and networking works much better. We are trying to build that here with the Raise Forum.
And Atlanta's a good place because we are, in many ways, the hub of the Southeast, and I don't think any other city would necessarily contest that, certainly on our entrepreneurial side. And we've been a real estate town for a long, long time.
Exactly.
But there's much more interest now. There are more funds coming in here. There are more national groups opening a fund office here. There's a lot of renewed interest. And if you think of three pillars, this is how you create an entrepreneurial culture. First, get the senior capitaler. Secondly, as Steve said, you collaborate instead of compete. And third, eventually you get the customers here. Now, we have that in some ways. We have it with fintech. We have it, perhaps we're engendering it in cybersecurity, but most other things, not. But that's how you do it.
We talked a little bit about Steve's background. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about your background, Barry, since you are the founder and enabler of the Raise Forum. How did you get to this?
I got to this kind of by accident. I was a manufacturing guy for a lot of years, came down here to run a plant down in McDonough, and that was an offer I could have refused, as it turns out, but got us down here, and we like it here, and was looking around for something to do, started working with smaller companies, got involved in financing for companies and alternative financing, and as all the traditional sources dried up during the recession, I got involved in equity and realized this is chaos. There's got to be a way to fix this, and that's how this happened.
You can follow the Raise Forum on Twitter at Raise, R-A-I-S-E, underscore forum. I believe the website is raiseforum.com. Now, and we're joined by Steve Brett and Barry Etra from the Raise Forum. One of the issues that's addressed on the website is this is not really a for-profit endeavor, correct?
Yeah, we're a not-for-profit. We're actually within the Goizueta Business School. In fact, initially, we're not taking anything for this first one for our efforts.
Mm-hmm.
What we will do, it's a sponsorship-driven model, essentially. If this works and can become a continuing thing, I think we will take money only on contingency, only on the back end from the companies who get, from the raises that the companies get who get funded.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one of the things I found out that as long as you're reasonable about it, if a company knows it's getting its money, it doesn't mind paying something on that contingency. So that would help sustain the program and perhaps expand it.
From Emory's standpoint, business schools are so competitive. There's so many really great business schools out there, and they look for things to set them apart. They look for people to be involved with and things to attract the top talent. What was their reaction when you guys approached them and kind of came to them with this idea?
Well, luckily, the guy at Emory who we talked to originally is not an academic. Charlie Goetz, who has been our partner in this since we started, Charlie started and sold 9 companies before he ever taught a class.
Wow.
And he is a very real-world guy, and he looked at this right away and said, boy, is this needed. And we've gone from there. We took some convincing. Dean has come around. There's a new dean at Emory. She is evidently very in favor of this. Emory has been lax to get into this world. This is a leap right into it. And they would love to, though, because they can clearly see it makes a lot of sense. Entrepreneurship is booming everywhere, and we are their first real foray into the real world of it.
Right. They're dipping a toe in the water now in terms of promoting business and promoting the B school. On the other hand, as Barry mentioned, Charlie Goetz, a real world guy, 9 businesses. He's written 6 books, I believe. And he's the head of the entrepreneurial school. He's created his own curriculum for his students. And if I'm not mistaken, he gets paid $0.
Because
he understands the value of promoting business. It comes back to him, I'm sure, in many ways. But he's doing this not for profit so much as for... I'm sure it's a funnel for business for him as well. But
right, it's more of the love. He loves to do this.
He loves the action.
He teaches here. He teaches in the Far East.
You mentioned some of these people getting bored. They've had so much success, and they've risen to these heights, and they're just kind of looking for new adventure.
He certainly likes the action. He's an A++ kind of energy guy.
Right. And there's also the ones who have made it in the entrepreneurial world really do like to give back. I mean, look at David Cummings, for example. He could have done a lot of things, but what he said is, I'm going to make a difference in the entrepreneurial world. And he created the Atlanta Technology Village, and thankfully it's a booming success, the biggest thing that happened to this town in years. And it's engendered a tremendous amount of additional investment that's going to start coming in downtown.
So as we wrap up, I want to ask you guys, you keep mentioning this is something you hope to do if it's successful twice a year and kind of continue and grow it and work with Emory. What makes it successful? At the end of the day, what determines whether this is a success and whether you do it again?
So in order of what we really like, first of all, we hope to fund a couple of companies. All right. Even that would put us way ahead of by a power of 5 or 10 of what goes on elsewhere. Even if we don't, we hope to get those companies right on the path to where they're getting funded, maybe partially from this, or they attract the attention of someone else because of this. And we hope to also say, there's that gap, that valley of death between $1 million and $5 million. At least there's one place that's filling it, and maybe, you know, this is a copycat world. Things will come up because of this, and other people will start doing it. This is scalable. There's no reason anybody can't do this with enough attention to detail.
When do you start planning for the next one? How much build-up time was there to get ready for November the 6th?
Well, let me just say something else. In a way, I think it's already a bit of a success. Even from a marketing standpoint, we have, if you'll pardon the pun, raised the awareness of the need for that $1 to $5 million. We have raised the awareness of the gap that exists between entrepreneurs and money in Atlanta. So even from that point of view, if we can make Atlanta more interesting for investors and startups to come here to stay, and working with Atlanta Tech Village and ATDC and so on, if this is a marketing tool for Atlanta and the rising tide lifting all boats, then we're successful also. Although I think that the funding is really going to be key. We do want to fund more businesses for more money.
I should mention, and we've been talking about the event coming up next Friday, the Raise Forum at the Goizueta Business School there at Emory. Not open to the public. If you're some sort of Shark Tank fan or a potential investor or a potential company that wants to get involved, it's not open. You can go to the website and kind of look for the application for future opportunities for that. But how are you getting the word out? We talked about the Twitter @raise_forum. How else will you be getting the word out?
Well, Steve did most of the heavy lifting there. We have 2 in-kind sponsors. One of them is Trevolino Keller, who is doing our social media and PR. There's also Syrup Marketing, who has been, and both of them have been very involved in the early stage world. They've been our branding group, and they've done a terrific job. They have all these contacts, and a lot of it, for me, was the one group that never gets hit seemed to be the investors. So I've been keeping them updated on a constant basis, and I've been following up with phone calls to all of them. Hey, here's what we're doing. Do you like it? What would you change? And they, most of them, very helpful.
Over communication. That's a good thing in business, right?
Yeah. And yeah. And the PR firm has been very helpful. The marketing firm has been very helpful. And we've also invited Business Radio X, mm-hmm, not to do live coverage, but to come and be involved in the coverage on that day So we look forward to you guys helping us out as well, covering this one and working towards the next one.
It's right up our alley. We're looking forward to it. And as long as my pregnant wife goes along with it and doesn't have a baby next Friday, then we're going to be there. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. The Raise Forum coming up Friday, November the 6th at Emory's Business School, the Goizueta Business School. You can find out more information. RaiseForum.com is the website, I believe. You can follow them on Twitter at Raise_Forum. Barry Etra, the founder of the Raise Forum, Steve Brett, who's working with some of the companies there through his company, Presentation Tune-Ups. You can find more about them at presentationtuneups.com.
Yes, sir.
There you go. We appreciate you guys being here today, and we'll look forward to what hopefully will be a really great event next Friday.
Great.
That'll
Thanks.
Do it for this edition of DeKalb Business Today. We'll have another great show coming up at noon. But until then, for executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you next time here on DeKalb Business Radio.